Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Podcast. My name is David.
And I'm Zach.
And we are the internet's premier Star Trek fan podcast.
I didn't want to butcher it because I knew you had it. You know what I mean?
I knew you had that one in you. And you probably know what we're about. You probably know the cut of our jib by now, but let me just give you a quick recap. We review Star Trek episodes, Stardate by Stardate.
And that's right, we do.
We are in the beginning of the third season, the first episode of Star Trek Enterprise, and the name of this episode is called The Zindi.
It's finally happened, dude.
It's finally here.
It's finally happened.
All your wishing for me has finally come true.
Yeah. You know, I keep throwing coins down wishing wells.
I hope David gets that Zindi arc. Tink.
Can't wait till David gets to the Zindi arc. Yeah, and we're on all major podcasting platforms. You can, in fact, like and subscribe to all of them. And I swear to God, if you write a review on Apple Music, we'll send you a sticker.
We will, yeah.
Yeah, and also send us an email at thestarcompanion@gmail.com. We've also got Facebook now. Yeah, you know, we just want to connect.
I want to talk to y'all.
Be buds. Send us emails. Send us messages. We're there. We're happy. We're the Star Companion.
Thanks for joining us. Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, that's it.
Our podcast is just a bunch of intros.
It's all intro, yeah. But no, so now we just did the Picard episode, which David thought had too much score. I think that was the highlight, and I was defending the amount of score. We'll keep an open mind. But moving on, we're back to Enterprise, and after this, in the next season, we go to TOS.
We go to TOS, man.
Which is pretty fun.
And that's going to be great.
It's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the Gorn episode.
Yeah. giving him the old two-fisted.
The two-fisted slam. Yeah.
There's nothing more that I love in this world than tearing apart shitty sci-fi. You ever just turn on the sci-fi channel and you're like, oh, what kind of abortion are they throwing up on the channel today?
On that topic, that show, The Expanse, of the books that I've been reading.
Is it a sci-fi exclusive?
The first three seasons were only on sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
And I'm shocked at how good it was.
They have a really good CGI budget.
Yeah.
They just do it.
I honest to God, was expecting, well, I mean, it was on sci-fi. Let's see what kind of abortion this was.
Yeah. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus 2.
It was excellent.
Sharknado.
Yeah, Shark Tortoise.
The thing I liked the most about Sharknado is, though the sharks were sucked up into the tornado, they still had the presence of mind to rip people apart. It was a tornado.
Oh, so there were actually sharks in the tornado, yeah. And they're ripping people apart to get sucked up
them.
Into it?
Yeah, they'd eat them.
Does the tornado have any sort of, like, sentience, or is it just going? Does it stop ever and come back with sharks?
Unclear. It just kind of, you know, blazes a swath across wherever it blazes its swath. And people who get sucked up into it get eaten by sharks. Yeah. It's kind of like a water funnel, NATO. Water tornado full of sharks.
Yeah.
Huh.
Never seen it?
Some of their shows sound like it was pitched by like an eighth grader. You know what would be cool is if there was a tornado, right? But in the tornado, there's sharks
in the tornado.
Got sucked up into the tornado. And then the people get sucked up in the tornado and they get eaten. You know, some guy had to put his little approved stamp on there. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, send it through. Send it through to CGI.
They red herring it down to the fucking... You think you guys can handle this? I just had an espresso. I don't know why I'm yawning.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It'll kick in.
It'll kick in. So, yeah, anyway, what's the synopsis for this episode?
Well, so we find ourselves now in the... In the expanse, the Delphic expanse.
That's right.
The eponymous Delphic expanse. And they've been in there for about 6 weeks now, I think, at this point. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's starting to get a little bit comfortable with each other. Everybody's introducing themselves to each other. Hoshi meets some of these special forces Starfleet people.
The Makos.
And she catches eyes with this guy named Chang, which I didn't really appreciate.
Oh. But... Why not? I think we need to dive into that.
I think in a time of war, there is not enough time for romance. Unless you're T'Pol and Trip.
Oh.
What was I going to say?
What about that, what about the, you know, the Zindi Council meeting?
Yes, and that was something I was going to bring up.
With the xenophobic ant people.
Yeah, so... On the other side of the Delphic expanse, or in parts unknown of the Delphic expanse, there's a meeting of minds, a council of doom, a summit of doom, if you will.
Okay.
There's
Skeletor.
There's a xenophobic ant man.
Goddamn right, there's a xenophobic ant in there.
And there's a couple of aquarium bound baddies.
There's some manatees.
I just love the idea that, like, as a villain. You know, you can't survive outside of water, so they have to, like, cart around, like, a little aquarium for you to breathe in everywhere.
Well, it's like you might have to, like, reconfigure maybe a cargo deck.
Yeah.
You know, and fill it with salt water and transport the creature and enough salt water in the cargo deck.
Yeah.
In order to bring it back into the future after you slingshot around the sun.
Yeah, and you invent plexiglass, too.
That, too.
It's quite a vivid corollary never mind.
It would be nice to, it's like as if Spock was going around 1960s, like San Francisco or something.
In a bathrobe. Got it. Picture painted.
Consider that picture painted.
There's also a change in the theme song. You can change that song however you want. The genius is in the way that it's sung.
It's in the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, you can tell they went with the Counting Crows version.
It's a bit more folksy.
Yeah. You know, they took away all the harmonies.
Yeah.
It's fine. A little happier. A little less 9/11-y.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like the score in this one.
Whoa.
And we now see the introduction of Badass Dad. Dad is here.
Dad's got his big boy pants on.
Dad.
We can't be safe or careful anymore. Damn.
Yeah, Dad.
Whoa.
We have to take chances, damn you.
I will torture somebody.
Yeah. That's next episode.
Is it?
Yeah.
He's going to torture somebody.
He's going to torture somebody. Is it?
Whatever.
Is it next episode? It is next episode. This episode...
Dad likes torture now.
Dad, yeah, likes torture.
You know what I mean?
Dad and crew are pursuing... They're trying to find a Zindi. They want to, I guess, construct some sort of genomic sequence for the Zindi so they can better identify them.
They want to find the homeworld.
Yeah.
They had had one Zindi that they picked up.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
But he was dead.
They arrive at this mining planet, and they mine Trillium D there.
What?
Yeah, which
that is... That sounds important.
Yeah, it sounds like some sort of asbestos-related thing. Have you been diagnosed with lung cancer after working, slaving away in a Trillium D mine? You could be entitled to legal compensation.
That's a great mesothelioma ad.
Right.
I'm impressed.
They go down to the surface and they meet this foreman who kind of looks like the mad scientist from Back to the Future.
Before we get there.
Yeah, go ahead.
They get out of the car, out of their, thing, shuttlecraft. And, dad goes, I'm Captain Art. And they're like, this way. They cut him off. So mm-hmm. he's already off on a bad foot.
Well, and before that, even Reed remarks, we should have worn EV suits, which is also known as the unofficial motto of seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Starship Enterprise.
Yeah. He looked like that shitty, the mining lord, or whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. He looked like a shitty 90s actor mm-hmm. who always had long hair, and he would always go it back. I want to say his name's like... some sort of like Chris Carter, Chris Strait or something.
Oh,
or,
okay.
I forget his name.
Chris Kattan?
No, not Chris Kattan. Not a funny guy. Maybe like a Quaid or a... I'm going to find it at some point here. I've been thinking about it all day.
Is it a Christian by any chance?
Christian what?
Christian Slater?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he looked just like Christian
he did.
Slater.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, that's great.
He kind of looked like the doctor from Back to the Future, the crazy scientist.
Oh, sure, yeah. Mixed with Christian Slater.
Mixed with Christian Slater.
What do you want with him, Captain? He's not very attractive. What? Archer's all mad about the finger.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're about to torture some people.
Yeah.
You know, nothing matters now, and you're like, why'd you have to take his finger?
That's the play, actually, is they're heading down to meet this Zindi, and this foreman just gives him a finger. And their dad's none too pleased, so...
Well, the trade-off is prove that he's Zindi, and then we'll give you a liter of...
Platinum milk.
Milk.
So they head up to Enterprise.
Thank God you don't say milk.
Milk. I hate that.
I love that.
They head back up to Enterprise, and Phlox is like, yeah, I think it's Zindi. There's some, like, reptile shit in there, gargoyle, dark-sided stuff going on in there.
Yes, sir.
And so Archer calls back down to the foreman and says, we're coming down. We want to meet this guy. And the foreman has this, he uses his communicator, like,
Like he's a 60s, minor league baseball guy. Yeah.
Like he's LL Cool J and Mama Said Knock You Out.
Even better.
mic.
Even better.
So they head back down. And as they're going down to meet with the Zindi down in the mine, this guy actually remarks that the Zindi are more of a collective than a unified species, which I find fascinating. Is the Zindi the council that we saw? Those are all Zindi?
I don't know.
Okay. If it is, which I think it is, that's a brilliant concept. I've never thought about that before in terms of sci-fi.
What?
That there could be a species that could be a species called something that's mm-hmm. actually 6 or 7 different species.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like 6 or 7 distinct species, but sure, all under one moniker.
They're all Zindi.
Yeah.
And they just sort of, what's going to happen here is there are inner politics.
Got it. Okay.
You know what I mean? As with any sort of xenophobic culture.
Yeah.
You know, well, us cone nipple people don't like you square nipple people, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, you notice now that the ant Zindi are a little trigger happy.
Yeah. And the manatees are a little talkative too.
Yeah, and then you have monkey and human Zindi who are a little more even keeled, you know, mild mannered. So yeah, they're all Zindi. There you go. You're welcome.
You just put a straw into the aquarium where the manatee is. You just start sucking. He's like, no!
My water.
My water.
Yeah, no, it is pretty interesting.
That is fascinating. I've actually never seen that trope before.
Yeah. No. From anything, really.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So is it... I'm just gonna go ahead and try and suss this out. So, do they classify themselves as a species, or is this more of a collective type thing?
It's definitely not a collective. Okay. They're all Zindi.
Okay, they so just, it is a species.
I forget if it's like the world was so large, or they all were on different worlds, but they have the same progenitor.
Got it. Okay,
you know what I mean. And just certain things took form. It's a great concept.
It would be like if us, bears, antelopes, and, like, cheetahs were all...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of same mental ilk.
And whales.
Yeah.
How do you get to that point, though, where you're talking to the people in the water? You know what I mean? Like, you're all just, like, fucking around on the land, having a party, getting shit-faced and all that stuff, and there's just a whale just jumping out of the sea, like, hey!
Yeah.
Whoosh, and he lands in the water.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If I remember right, there's a bird form of Zindi that were destroyed.
A birdman? A birdman.
Bird person.
A bird person. Ska!
If I remember right, and like, cause there's internal strife.
Okay. Okay. You don't have to ruin anything more.
I'm not trying to, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to ruin anything more, but that's... I just wanted to comment on that. I noticed that.
It's interesting.
They find this guy, and they're like, tell us where the coordinates of your homeworld are, goddamn you. Trip grabs him rather roughly. He's really upset about
his
sister.
He's gruff now.
He's really upset about his sister.
He's gruff, dude. It's not okay now.
And the guy says, well, I don't want to just give you this information. I kind of want to get the fuck out of here.
You got to escape me.
You got to escape me. So they agree, and they start escaping. They go through the poop chute.
That's right, with the fucking dripping shit everywhere.
The sewers, the dripping shit.
My favorite part about the dripping shit was when they started climbing the ladders.
Yeah.
The shit drip was clear.
Okay, that was all shit?
Well, that was sewage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's what you're supposed to take away from that.
Didn't look good.
Mm-hmm. Did you like the space thermal scopes on the space snipers?
I did, yeah. So
it's pretty cool.
To continue, they get close to escaping. The foreman finds out that they're in the process of escaping, and he says, go down there and get those guys. So they go down there and get them, and they get confronted. And I'll keep talking.
Keep going.
Yeah. And so they get confronted by the foreman's boys, the foreman's lads, the foreman's militia. And all of a sudden we're like, what's going to happen?
What?
Are Archer, Trip, and the Zindi going to get shot down there? Hell no, son.
The Mako's coming fucking Mission Impossible style.
Starfleet Special
Ops
is here.
Yes, sir. Starfleet, son. Choo-choo. Mako's.
Shit looks so dope, man.
Military action combat something.
I've never seen this in Star Trek before. Like, Star Trek Special
Ops. Neither have I, dude, but you know what?
We need it.
Look, dude, they might be making some sort of weapon to destroy our planet.
Yeah,
on some timey-wimey bullshit.
Some sort of star capable of inflicting death, or some sort of...
Ah, something like that, yeah,
some sort of star-killing base.
Mm-hmm. Hey, David.
Yeah?
How are we feeling about T'Pol's new clothes?
Yeah, she looks good.
You think...
Letting her hair grow out.
You think that is, what would be Vulcan leisure, or Vulcan business casual?
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like her, like, red suit?
Do Vulcans leisure?
It's just a... Pope shit in the woods? I don't know, man. What about the B-plot in this whole thing?
Oh, yeah, I was getting to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I keep going ahead of you. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. The thermal scopes were dope. The snipers were dope.
Is it okay?
And one of the Mako chicks drops in. And kicks the fuck out of one of those dudes down there.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, wow, strong female character that we're not all fawning over and devoting our fucking entire episode to. What a concept.
Oh,
it just happens. You know what I mean?
A strong female? You mean like...
Michael? Finley?
Dorn? It was Burnham.
Burnham.
Yeah, Michael Dorn's. Who's Michael Dorn, David?
That's Worf.
Okay, good.
You know he went to PCC.
What?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Oh my god, is he still out here?
He might be. Yeah.
All right, you know what? That's it, man. We gotta go find this dude.
That stuck out to me. She just comes in, kicks ass.
It's cool.
And it's just, it is. It just is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like there's not this huge fucking thing.
It should be post whatever in the world.
And honestly, that's how everything should be. It should be, it just is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree.
So they get out of there. This Indy, he dies, but he gives the coordinates before he dies.
Before Phlox gets in out of him, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And shifting over to the B plot.
Wait, before you get there?
Yeah.
I forget who it is, but someone says, I guess we'll have to look elsewhere for new additions to their labor force. And I think that's Dad, which must have been why I wrote that down. Which is super funny. Like, it's just so... It comes off like tongue in cheek, but it's supposed to be serious.
Dad's really like getting into the mood of being like naughty and like like getting rough and tumble.
It makes me wonder. A little bit of rough and tumble. It makes me wonder what he's like in like that CSI show that he's in.
Yeah, NCIS or whatever.
NCIS. I'm about this close to start watching it just to be like. How did you progress as an actor afterwards?
I really want to go back and watch Quantum Leap.
Yo, me too, actually. You know, I want to watch Quantum Leap and Doctor Who like a lot. Have you seen Doctor Who?
No. But I know it's been on since like the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that Star Trek video I brought you? I showed you the Honest trailer?
Yeah.
Wade and I watched one for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And... in the Honest trailer, I was sold in watching the show. I was like, we'll watch it after this.
I know the fans are like gung-ho about it.
So, I know nothing about it outside of that video.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a podcast on it. Stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned. Okay, yeah, B-plot.
Trip and T'Pol are being forced together like two little Barbie dolls. Mm-hmm. Now Kith. That's Phlox telling him to kiss.
Phlox with the old take him to her quarters trick.
The old,
I never would have pegged you for an insomniac.
The old stimulate my neural nodes trick.
Mm-hmm. It would.
Trip's having a real tough time getting over the death of his sister.
Only be fair for me to return the favor.
And what's T'Pol? What's T'Pol's problem? She doesn't have a problem. She's just helping out a friend.
Problem.
Yeah. So Phlox suggests to Trip at first. Mm-hmm. He says, why don't you go undergo Vulcan neural pressure. He says, "No, I don't want to do that, dog. That's some hippy dippy bullshit." Frankly,
I like to feel my pain. And you know what? I'll drink it away and then shoot myself in the face later when I'm old in Key West.
That's right. And I'll just wash it down with some cornbread, some gumbo, and hooey, tackle some gators and live on.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
Please continue.
That's what T'Pol says, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sexual.
Through a series of events, T'Pol and Trip end up in the same room together, and T'Pol convinces him to stimulate her neural nodes, which are in her back, and she has to take off her shirt and reveal her
naked body.
Her naked body, which is lovely. And then she puts her shirt on and forces Trip to disrobe.
Take your shirt off!
Do it, brother! She sprays water all over. Oh, whammy. It looks like you're going to have to take that shirt off now. It's all wet. And so, I guess this is the beginning of a beautiful, beautiful love story here.
And then, you know...
Albeit reluctantly.
She says you're being intransigent. Intransigent?
Intransigent?
I'm willing to compromise. I know what it means.
I know what it means.
You think I'm making a sexual advance? No, not at all, Missy, sorry, ma'am. Not in a post believe women me too.
No,
climate.
No, ma'am.
And then my final favorite line of this episode.
Yeah,
Travis goes, "What course, sir?" And Dad looks into the fucking video
out there somewhere
deeper into the expanse.
We must go one deeper.
Anyway, there you go.
And that's the first adventure in the expanse.
That's right. We're back,
baby.
The Star Companion. The internet's premier Star Trek fan podcast.
If this is if this is your second episode listening to us after transitioning over from Picard, we encourage you to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
Yes.
We're the answer to the question. I wonder what it would sound like if two buds were to just sit in a room together and talk about Star Trek episodes Stardate by Stardate. The immortal question. The unanswerable question.
Oh my god.
We're answering it.
That is exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Do you like how I pretend to be surprised every time you ask that question? We're having fun.
Yeah.
You can email us at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
You can find us on all major podcasting platforms. Yes, sir.
Email us.
Yeah. You can. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I thought that's what you were doing. Oh, okay. I thought that was the
yes,
bit.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I missed the bit. You can send us a dollar or two if you really like us at patreon.com/thestarcompanion.
Yes, sir.
There it is. Yeah, and if you fucking if you write a review, I will send you a sticker with a handwritten note on the back. I've upped it up.
Good.
Thanks. Have you ever changed a baby's diaper?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.